I wonder what the temptation was like to Joseph. We hear the story from Genesis today about how Joseph is ruling in Egypt. He is the viceroy, the prime minister, if you will, of Pharaoh, and he has power over life and death. He has the ability to kill his brothers if he so desired. He has the ability to do whatever he wants to do to them. He could repay them with evil for the evil that they intended. He could do anything to them that he wanted to do. The temptation must have been pretty drastic. I can remember being heavily tempted to do evil to my brother in return for the evil that he did to me. Indeed, one day I did exactly that. When after he had been torturing my cat, in anger and frustration, I got up, told him to put the cat down, and he threw the cat to the ground. And in response, with anger steaming out my eyeballs, I railed back and hit him so hard, he hit the wall between the dining room and the living room, a sheetrock wall, and didn't stop, but went through into the living room. I want to tell you, I had lots of anger problems as a child. And I was strong as a child, too. And as a result, sometimes I would take my anger out on things or on people like my brother, who never again tortured my cat, by the way. Dad took a look at the wall and said, well, I always wanted to open up that wall between the dining room and the living room. So we took out the wall. And I started it. He finished it. Anger is a dangerous thing. Responding with anger, with hatred, with evil, for anger, for abuse, is not what Jesus calls us to do. And yet it is our natural desire, what we want to do. I mean, truly, that is what we want to do. Respond negatively with anger and emotion and hatred for anger, emotional hatred. That's what we want to do. The world does not believe and does not live by the maxims laid out here by Jesus in Luke's gospel for us today. Rather, the world prefers this alternate version. Hate your enemies. Do evil to those who hate you. Curse those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, strike them back. And if anyone takes away your coat, take theirs and their shirt too. Never give to anyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, demand them back and threaten to break their elbows if they don't. Do unto others before they do unto you. That's the world's maxim, isn't it? Do unto others before they do unto you. I have a friend who says that's a much more reasonable and logical way to live the life, to live a life, to live in this world amongst sinners and people who don't believe in Jesus' calling. To do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And in fact, he said, I don't want other people to do to me what they want done to themselves. And I understand his objection. Yet that is not Jesus' calling for us. Jesus has a calling that pierces through what we want to do. We want to respond negatively. Take a look at the Middle East. Today in the Middle East, there is violence going on between the children of Abraham, between the children of Isaac and Jacob on one side, and the children of Hagar and Ishmael on the other. Violence and disagreement and disrespect and suspicion, hatred between the groups. One group attacks one group, another group attacks the back. One group shoots a child, the other group blows up a bus. One group closes off borders and the other group murders soldiers in the street. One group goes and destroys a house and that other group responds by blowing up bombs in marketplaces. Violence, my friends, and anger and hatred, as Jesus knew so very well, begets violence and anger and hatred. It becomes a never-ending synergistic cycle, spinning and spinning down to destruction. This unwillingness to accept that evil happens, and instead of responding with evil, responding with good. That was Jesus' call for us as the community of faith, as the church, as the children of God in this world. Jesus had a specific calling for us today, and has a specific calling for us forever. His calling for us is to not return to evil the response of evil, but rather to do good, to respond with good, to pray for those who persecute you. My friends, that is difficult. To turn the other cheek. When I was a child, my mother used to say that what I had in my mind's eye was not these cheeks, but these cheeks. Because that's, you know, that was the part that usually got spanked, frankly. But in the idiomatic usage that Jesus had here, turning the other cheek is a very powerful expression. There are two types of slaps. Ted, stand up. Stand up, because you're a good target. There's two kinds of slaps. There's this kind with the palm of the hand, and there's this kind with the back of the hand. You can sit down now. Didn't hurt one little bit, did it? No, it didn't. He did flinch, though. The first slap is with the palm of the hand. And that slap expresses anger and hatred. When you're slapped, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. And then there comes the backhand. Which hurts more? Anybody know? It's the backhand. Where the bones are. Jesus' calling is very deep, friends. Usually we don't get physically hit in this culture. It's the words that are spoken. When I was a child, I hated this. But mother used to say, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. I'm sorry, Mom. Words can hurt. Words can hurt deeply. Words can tear hearts apart. Words can tear families apart. I have seen families torn asunder and divorces occur because of thoughtless, careless, unspoken, unfeeling words. Words are powerful things. And we experience in our culture today violence, physical violence, emotional violence, verbal violence of many different kinds. And we are called as the people of God to stand up to that violence, not with more violence, but with a response of peace. A response that rejects the violence and refuses to accept it, but also refuses to be drawn in to it. That's not easy, friends. It was a PPR meeting. 4 years ago, almost to the day. And it was a difficult church. It was a difficult appointment. God sent me there to learn about myself. And God sent me there for them to learn about themselves. And it was in the middle of the PPR meeting, and the individual made some charges, and I, in effect, called him a liar, and he broke my nose. Now, the response to that one wants to make is to stand up and break their nose, right? Come on. Be honest. Yeah. And 3/4 of the PPR committee thought that's exactly what I was going to do. As I got up off the floor, blood coming out. But instead of doing that, which would have been the exact wrong thing for me to do, I simply filled out a note. We, the undersigned, witnessed so-and-so, I will not name him, so-and-so, strike Reverend Neal unprovoked in a PPR meeting. And they all signed it. And then I used that to simply say, do it again, and I will press charges. My brothers and sisters, there are ways to confront evil and violence and abuse and oppression that do not employ physical attacks or abuse or violence or oppression. There are ways to confront the evil in this world without resorting to evil. And Jesus' outline here is a good place to start. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not do unto others before they do unto you, but do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's not easy, my friends, but it's a calling we all have. A calling that is empowered by the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. A calling that is empowered by the grace of God which comes to us through the many means of grace. A calling that is empowered within us. When we kneel and pray, when we sing hymns, when we fellowship together, when we study the Word of God, when we receive the Holy Sacraments, a calling to live as Christ would have us to live in a peaceable kingdom, proclaiming the good news that God brings righteousness and judgment and justice, not us. We take a part and a role in it. God has that justice and judgment to give. Finally, Jesus says at the very end of his statements here, do not judge. That's really hard. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Hard. Hard. Hard to do. But it's the only way that Jesus gives us to live in the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters, I challenge you. The next time you are tempted to strike out in violence, the next time you are tempted to speak words that hurt and tear and destroy, the next time you are tempted to get back at someone who has gotten you, I encourage you to try praying for this person. As Jesus said, pray for those who curse you. I encourage you, I challenge you to pray for them by name. It's not easy, but it works because it tears down the bitter core of the hatred and the anger and the pain that builds up from the abuse, from the verbal or physical abuse. Don't allow them to continue abusing you. You only have 2 cheeks. But respond not with anger, not with hatred, and not with violence, but with prayer and with peace. And end the cycle of violence. That's our calling as Christians today. It's a calling that Jesus gives to you right here from the Gospel in St. Luke. And it's a calling that you and I have to live. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.